The topic on the cover sheet of the materials, which I believe has been distributed, says Tzar Balechayim colon Shechita and Vegetarianism. I'm not quite sure what Tzar in the colon is. I was told that the topic is vegetarianism, Shechita, and Tzar Balechayim in that order. And I'll deal with it in that order only for one reason, and that is that in the package there is a tradition article dealing with Tzar Balechayim as well as with Shechita, which I hope covers the sources fairly adequately, and there is no similar article as yet with regard to vegetarianism, although a future tradition will contain such. So I would like to begin with vegetarianism simply to make sure that we cover that, because I don't really have very much to add to what I've already written with regard to the other topics. Let me begin by trying to put the entire matter in some kind of perspective. It's clear that vegetarianism is not one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, and if it would be presented in that guise, we have very little to say. The question is essentially one of hashgacha rather than halacha, although the two are very closely intertwined. The question being, what is the attitude of Judaism with regard to vegetarianism? Is it a kind of midas chassidus? Is it some sort of morality to which one should at least aspire? Is it something that hashgacha and halacha are essentially neutral with regard to? Or is there even a negative feeling with regard to it? Insofar as positing moral desiderata are concerned, I want to begin with the very first item in the package that's been distributed, and that is the opening statement of the Bar Tanura in Pirkei Avot. Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai, Amoso Yeshua, etc., etc. And the Bar Tanura, in effect, asks what he's doing here. It would be very understandable if this were the Hakadonah to the Tisha Sidri Mishnah. You want to know what this is all about, why in the world was Rebbe Mishabah is, and why should we learn it? Because Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai, Amoso Yeshua, and this is the Tisha Baal Peh. Everything that follows is the Tisha Baal Peh. But this introduction in medias res, coming as it does in the middle, is a bit of an anomaly. Says the Bar Tanura that Masechta Avos begins with Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai because it is a message that is particular to Masechta Avos. Everybody knows that Roim, Noshim, Zikin, Ami Sinai, otherwise there wouldn't have been a mission in the first place. Insofar as Pirkei Avos is concerned, there is room for error. Because Zu Hamasechta Einam Yusedes Al Pirush Mitzvah Minitzvah Tateirah Kishar Masechta Shebenitzvah. There's not a single mitzvah which is explicated in Masechta Avos. Ela Kula Mitzvahim Umidah. It's all effort. Vechach Niyumei Zoylon Gan Kein Sibus Tzvorim Tzvorim Shebodim Yilibon Begarche Hamusa Chesad Yitznai Vodom Yitzvahiroi. Lefiko Kisko Hatano Bimsechta Zu Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai Leima Lako Shahamidei Sahamutsori Sebeshu Hamasechta Loi Bodoi Samtachni Hamishkan Libom Elo Af Eilu Nemru Sinai. Insofar as Musar is concerned, general ethics is concerned, ethics, if it's not from Sinai, has no place in the Shisha Sidra Mishnah, and by implication, has no place in a Jewish system of ethics. Ethics is simply a sub-branch of halacha, kind of mitzvah, mishura, sadina, what have you. It may perhaps, in certain cases, not be normative, not be binding. It may be a morality of aspiration, call it what you like. But it is to have any basis or any validity insofar as hashgacha tzeira is concerned, it has to be rooted in concepts which are derived from the Sinai, otherwise it is of no moral significance whatsoever. Therefore, in an approach to vegetarianism, the approach necessarily has to be whether there is any mocker in Chazal for vegetarianism as even the ethics of even ethical conduct in terms of aspiration, because if there is no source for that type of conduct, then it is certainly of no positive moral value. Whether it is of negative value may be an entirely different question. Now, Obviously, there are a number of sources that can and indeed have been cited in affirmation of the principle that vegetarianism is something very positive, it's very good, and it would be very nice if everybody would go out and become a vegetarian. The first source that is usually cited is the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Test on the Day, Omar Yehuda, Omar Rav, Otam Harishin, Lehuta Lehvostu Lachila, Dikdib Lachem Yeh Lachol, Chol Chayas Hasode, Vloy Chayas Hasode Lachem, Shibob Nei Noyach, Yitzilem Shinema, Kerek Yitzel, Nasati Lachem, Esfer, period. The Gemara is simply a normative statement of historical halakha. That once upon a time, to Noyach, the flesh of animals was forbidden. It became permissible only to Adam. What some have attempted to extrapolate from that statement is that the Rebbeinu Shloimeh forbade it to Adam because Adam was the Mechuvan Habriya. He was a higher moral creature. He was capable of sustaining the prohibition. But Nebuchadnezzar, when Noyach came around and Adam Rishon after the Chet, the days got progressively weaker and they weren't so moral anymore and you couldn't expect so much from them. Therefore, the Rebbeinu Shloimeh, as a concession to this debased human nature, proceeded to permit Bosra to Noyach. None of that is contained within the words of the Gemara. You have a statement. You have a statement with regard to the fact that there was a certain Easter that was Noyach to Adam and was Noyach after Noyach. And now you attempt, why is it that the Rebbeinu Shloimeh permitted it at one stage and did not permit it at another? In point of fact, if one goes in Nuntes on the day, Sanhedrin, Nuntes on the day, I find in none of the Rishonim anything that would support a vegetarian analysis of Nuntes on the day. I do find other analyses that are perfectly understandable and perfectly compatible with the text. Primarily, the earliest that I'm aware of is the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says that as part of the Chet of the Eighth Hadad, Adam, as part of what happened after the Chet of the Eighth Hadad, he became a Yudea Tzoyz Voro. And again, I don't want to dwell on it, but the Mary Nebuchim has an elaborate discussion of what happened in regard to the constitution of Adam Rishon after the Chet of the Eighth Hadad. And the Baal HaTurim says that in part at least, man became carnivorous in nature. Prior to the Eighth Hadad, he simply had no desire for meat, and for all I know, no capability of digesting meat. Just as ruminants have no capability of digesting the flesh of animals. Now, Baal HaTurim doesn't present it biologically. He presents it certainly in terms of human appetite. Adam had no desire for meat, therefore there was no reason to be matir in both the lachila. After the Chet of the Eighth Hadad, the nature of man changed, and he now became a carnivorous animal. And as a carnivorous animal, so the Rebbeinu provides meat. It's simply a reflection of changed empirical realia, which is entirely neutral from the moral perspective. There is no escaping that in terms of the analysis of the Baal HaTurim. That's why I had to take a look at the Mary Nebuchim. It might have been better for Adam not to be carnivorous. There are certain matters which are essentially aesthetic in nature, which change after the Chet of the Eighth Hadad, not necessarily for the good, but it would change human condition, and that may have been an image for the Chet. But given the human condition, he is now carnivorous and will not be other than carnivorous, just as once upon a time he walked around as Adam before the Chet walked around without any feeling of shame. Now he has feelings of shame. And that has all kinds of ramifications in terms of halacha as well. But before the Chet of the Eighth Hadad, there was no point in preaching tzniut in Gan Eden. It would have been purposeless. Why in the world does a person in that state require all kinds of practices and mores, which we refer to as tzniut? That may well be, but if you're dealing with the human condition, and you ask, is this man in the human condition, ought he to aspire to vegetarianism on the basis of Baal HaTurim, I have no reason to say yes. If he's asked, should he aspire to be Adam Kedem Achev, of course he should. And Adam Kedem Achev, you don't have to talk about vegetarianism. You have no desire for it. The purpose, the meaningless discussion. The point I'm making is, in terms of the Balaturian's analysis of Sanhedrin and says, you cannot derive vegetarianism as a kind of a moral ideal. And indeed, it is, you know, certainly not a moral ideal based upon his analysis. You find a very similar analysis in the Malden, who doesn't quote the Balaturian. He presents it in a somewhat different way, not so much with regard to a change in Odom, in his human nature, as it is a change in the surroundings in which Odom finds himself. In Gan Eden, he doesn't need meat because he has better things to eat. The food that is found in Gan Eden, says the Malden, was nutritionally superior to the same items that you find in your corner grocery. The climate was such that he didn't need things that were not in Gan Eden, but there's a kind of general degeneration in the Bria. The food isn't as healthy anymore, and the climate isn't as healthy, so you need more varieties of food. Net result is that nutritionally, a man after the fed needs meat, before the fed he didn't need meat. It's very similar to the Balaturian, except it doesn't dwell so much upon the nature of man as it does upon the nature of vegetation that's available to man in Gan Eden as distinct from what's available elsewhere. But these are the, you know, the two basic sources I'm aware of that attempt to explain the Tamei HaMitzvah as they change between the time of Odom and Noach, as reflected in Sanhedrin and Tess. And it turns out that if you deal with you know, our sources, there's nothing in the sources that would support a vegetarian analysis. Yes.
Why in the first
chapter did Noach wait for Noach? I don't know. He waited. The mountain certainly provides something of an explanation.
Right.
In terms of the Balaturian, it's not nearly as clear. I mean, I could try to answer, but why? The point I've made is one could flesh out his comments and try to explain, but I don't think it's necessary. Now, the other source that's quoted is the Gemara in Sotin Memphis on the day, Am Oret Fosul Elefo Vosul. Hatzera, and proceeds to give you all the halachas of the meaning of Nain, and says to Gemara that the person who is an Eitz Hatzera, he is allowed to eat what is contained in the parsha. Somebody who's not Eitz Hatzera isn't allowed to eat what's in the parsha. Now, I don't really know how you can use that as a statement in support of vegetarianism, but some people have tried to do so. If you read the Gemara superficially, it sounds almost as if that the steak is the reward for learning about Gemara. And instead of giving a candy as a prize, you get the meat as a prize. That the Talmud Chacham who spends his time learning, he's entitled to eat meat. But somebody who doesn't spend his time learning, he's not entitled to eat meat.
Where do you get that?
Wait a minute. Personally, one would think that the Talmud Chacham is held to a higher moral standard than to a lower moral standard. Therefore, if you're going to use that as an ethical proof practice, it's just the opposite. In any event, the literal reading of the Gemara is clearly incorrect. I mean, nobody says that's that in the Gemara. What is Shat Megamore? Again, I have one shot that I think is probably the correct one, and I have two sources for the shot. One is the Mashah, and the other is the Shuvah Ramot Simin Samachay. Both say that the Talmud Chacham is allowed to eat Bosa because only the Talmud Chacham knows what he's allowed to eat, what he's not allowed to eat. You've got to be a Talmud Chacham to be able to distinguish between Amin Torah and Amin Tomei, the Bosa and the Shkita, in Melicha, and in Nikur, Caleb, etc. If you're not a Talmud Chacham, then you better stay away from me, because the food that you have may not be acceptable, it may not be kosher. The Marshal even says that even though Dovim are in the same parasha, the Gemara speaks only about Behena and Oy. It doesn't talk about Dovim. And if it's in the court of the Drosha of then why not Dovim as well? And the answer is because any Amoris to the things in a dog coming is a dog door. Everybody knows it's not in Kafkefes, it's easily identifiable, and to don't get hung up on things like searching and forcing and what have you. But when you're dealing with meat, there is difficulty. You've got to be a bigger Talmud Chacham, and you have to know more. Therefore, only Talmud Chacham is permitted to use Dovim. Dovim, Memphis, and the day. However, that certainly is mid-vegetarianism through the back door. Clear, both from the Shuvah Ramot and from the Marshal, that somebody who doesn't eat meat because he doesn't rely on the hashgacha, is not committing an infraction. On the contrary, he thinks the people who don't know enough are not careful enough. And if his reason for not eating bakar is because it's a siyog of some kind, or because he's afraid of being nishol, clearly there would be nothing wrong with that. And I will later try to emphasize the distinctions in terms of motivation. This type of motivation is not ethical in nature. It's not a concern for animal welfare or ascription of rights to animals or whatever. It's simply a concern for not being nishol in something which is also. And clearly, in accordance with the Rambo and the Marshal, that would be entirely permissible, and one does not have to flesh it out by citing examples of individuals who did not eat meat, not because of vegetarianism, but because they were afraid of the food that was being presented to them. Yes. Right. Right. The pietistic vegetarians of which we are speaking all ate fish. No, it's an open secret. There were people in this country 30, 40, 50 years ago who never ate meat. They didn't eat meat in this country because they knew what the standards of hashgacha were in this country. They did eat fish because that wasn't a problem. They were vegetarians in quotation marks, but not what I would call ethical vegetarians. They were halakhic vegetarians or pietistic vegetarians, or call them what you like. Clearly, that's why fish was never included. Yeah. I'm going to come to that later. And in the story, you've got a whole series of given to that. Yes. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to spend time on it, no, A, because I don't find it in any place, and B, because I don't think it's the Sabbath. I think that the Marshon Ramo is so simple and so obvious that the purpose is for, if I've got a simple explanation, why look for one that's convoluted? Having said that, let me point out that there is at least some source for vegetarianism as an ideal. The major sources are the Abarbanel and Albo, although Albo I will qualify in a moment. Both Abarbanel and Albo speak about people refraining from eating meat, not because of a concern for animal welfare, but because of a concern that the person who slaughters an animal may himself acquire traits of cruelty. And you find statements in the Gemara. The person who's born under Mazel Madin, you ought to go become a Tavok, you ought to become a Shreifet, let out his pent-up hostility in that area. If a person has no hostility that he must give vent to, he may develop hostility if he engages in such practices, and those are deleterious insofar as the individual character is concerned. I emphasize that the concern both in Abarbanel and in Albo, which is even clearer, is a concern not for the animal, but a concern for the human being, lest the individual become prone to traits of cruelty. You find similar concepts, not with regard to vegetarianism, but with regard to the issue of leisachtsin in the Sefer HaChinuch. Leisachtsin Shor Vedisha, the Sefer HaChinuch says, is not a concern of Tzar Balechayim, but is a concern that the person who does this to the animal will become cruel. In the Rambam, Yes. I can't cite that for anything definitive. In the Sefer HaChinuch, I find the emphasis in leisachtsin on concern for the individual rather than for the animal. And Kantzipa doesn't prove anything one way or the other. The concept of the Agir Rachamech for Kantzipa is that if it was a matter of rachamim and you're really worried about the animal, then why didn't he say that you shouldn't take either the mother or the egg? Yes. And the second point is the Rambam, who speaks in with regard to both Ether, Min Hakai, and the general use of Tzar Bali Chaim. The Rambam says that even Tzar Bali Chaim is not a concern for animal welfare. Tzar Bali Chaim is a concern for the welfare of the person who practices cruelty to animals. The person who practices cruelty to animals becomes cruel, and we don't want people to be cruel. Therefore, if they're after Tzar Bali Chaim. But it is not rooted, says the Rambam, in a concern for the welfare of animals. Okay, in Marin's looking, you want sources? I don't have them. It may be quoted in the materials that you have on the animal experimentation article. It's in the Mer Nebuchim. It's probably in Caleb Gimel in the Zion Mishpat there. We talked about the other in Yom Yisrael, I think. Or maybe in Perek Mishpat. It's probably one is in Mishpat, the other is there. Mishpat, Perek Mishpat is where he has all the Talmud HaMitzvot around on Mer Nebuchim in Caleb Gimel in Mer Nebuchim, and you'll probably find Avram and Achai there. Whether Rav Al-Achai is there too, or something else, I don't remember of that. And it's this site. Now, the interesting source with regard to this is the Albo, and he is the most negative with regard to vegetarianism, even though he, in a sense, espouses a kind of vegetarianism as an ideal when it is designed to prevent cruelty in the person's committing acts involving the killing of animals. The Albay, which is reproduced in the package that you received today, had a long discussion of the incident involving Cain and Hevel. Cain brings a carbon of vegetation, and Hevel brings an animal sacrifice. The problem is, why didn't Cain bring an animal in the first place? And the Albay says that Cain didn't bring an animal sacrifice because Cain was concerned with animal rights. He thought that violence is absolutely prohibited, not only against human beings, but against animals as well. No Nivra has the right to take the life of any other Nivra. Therefore, he brings, not Nivra, but he brings something else. Hevel, interestingly enough, agreed with Cain, at least in part. He recognized that animals have rights, says Albert, but he thought that it's perfectly okay to use animals as a carbon to the Rebbeinu Shloim, although he would never have brought a human sacrifice. He thought that service of the Rebbeinu Shloim takes precedence over animal rights. Animals have rights, but they're no animal farms. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. Animals are equal, but human beings are more equal, and therefore you can use animals for carbonia. Both committed grievous errors, says Aldo. Both constituted a head. That's why the Rebbeinu Shloim doesn't intervene and he allows Cain to kill Hevel. Hevel dies. And the Rebbeinu Shloim doesn't stop him from doing it. However, Cain is even worse. Because what happens is, when he sees that the Rebbeinu Shloim accepts the carbon of Hevel, he then decides that he must have been right in the first place, he was just wrong in a little minor detail. Animals and humans are equal, only he thought that everybody's got rights. Now he discovers that animals don't have rights, and that humans must also not have rights. Therefore, you can commit an act of violence against an animal, you can commit an act of violence against Hevel. The sin of Cain, according to the Albay, is the sin of animal rights. If you view animals as being endowed with the same rights as human beings, you are guilty of Cainism. This was the chet of Cain, according to the Albay. He's very clear about that. Indeed, in contemporary sons of animal rights, you will find statements exactly of a nature which the Albo decries, statements to the effect that animals enjoy exactly the same rights as human beings. I'll give you one little quote. All sentient creatures have equal moral standing. There is no moral difference between a man and a dog. Hence, the pain suffered by dogs must be weighed no differently from the pain suffered by humans. Source, Peter Singer, Animal Liberation, 1977. That's exactly the position of Cain, according to the Albay, and that what resulted need not be dwelt upon at length. Yes? Because once he saw that Hevel can kill animals with impunity, and eventually Shalom likes it, that means that violence can't be bad. If violence against animals is acceptable, then violence against human beings is also acceptable. Well, then, sure, at that point, it made no difference anymore. He no longer was able to distinguish. Hevel thought humans had more rights. He couldn't abide the distinction. He didn't accept the distinction. He then led to the conclusion that there are no rights, that's with either an animal or human. Now look, I'm not into the biblical exegesis. I'm not trying to explain the story of Cain and Eva. Remember that the allegory was a reason. And what you have in allegory is a clear statement with regard to a certain hashgacha insofar as animal rights are concerned, which he then roots in this analysis of the story of Cain and Eva. Hevel thought that animals are endowed with rights, but he thought that those rights weren't as great as they were human. Therefore, for purposes of korbanos, you could commit acts against animals. Now, Alpha would say the reason you act with korbanos is animals have no rights, not because you're using it for some higher purpose. You're violating those rights in the name of some higher goal or what have you. The other individual who is often cited in this regard is the writer of Cook, and indeed there are many statements that lend themselves to and this type of interpretation. Yes? Hevel's test was that he thought animals were endowed with rights. Yes, because he thought that the rights were subservient to this need to sacrifice. They weren't endowed with the same rights as humans, but he thought that they had rights. Yes, says the Albert. What? No, they don't quote Albert. No. That's an happening. They don't quote Albert. They don't want to quote Albert. The other source that is often quoted is Rav Kook. Now, Rav Kook has made a number of statements, all in the context of eschatology. He talks about Olam Haba, Yemei HaMashiach, etc., and says that man will be vegetarian at that time. Mm-hmm. However, he also says that man will attain the same state as Adam Tzedem HaTet. And in that context, it may be simply no more than a description of reality. So back to the Balaturim, the Malbim, and what have you. He also makes a statement which I'm not prepared to defend in the Siddur it's published, that Korbanos in Yemei HaMashiach will be only a Korban Ninfeh. It's certainly contradicted by the Rambam. But that's entirely beside the point. What is significant is that there's other material by Rav Kook which is not as immediately accessible, it's not published in the latest of Rav Kook republications, although it was originally an article in Hapelet, and it was incorporated in another little volume in which there is a very detailed analysis of vegetarianism, which is extremely negative. Rav Kook was an anti-vegetarian. He was also, he was purported by some as having been a vegetarian himself. That's absolutely false. His son, the Yehuda Kook, said very clearly that his father was not a vegetarian. And indeed, if you read what Rav Kook wrote in Hapelet, he there presents four arguments against vegetarianism and is very strong and very forceful in his anti-vegetarian views. It's in the package, yes. It's in the package. It's not labeled. I mean, there's nothing there to serve as Rav Kook. But it's yes. It's not for us. That's pretty clear. Okay. The thing is not, yes. The paper is called Lachai Rehi. It's taken from the printing. Okay, fine. Now, if you go through that material clearly, I find four arguments. You have to list them on this report. I find four anti-vegetarian arguments. The first is a kind of polemic. He, as it were, addresses the vegetarians and says, is that all you have to worry about in a period when there is still enmity between nations and racial discrimination? One would think that those things should be eradicated before you worry about animals. It's a kind of levatel, hai, mikamehai, a la vizimar in seifu. And in Rav Kook's list of moral priorities, animosity, racial discrimination figures much higher on evils to be eradicated than concern for animals. Sorry? Well, then you have to go to 2, 3, and 4. This is the polemic addressed to the vegetarians. Then he proceeds to develop other arguments as well. He says that if the people, the vegetarians, were to be successful and vegetarianism would become the norm, the net result would be that men would become cannibals. He doesn't call it Albrecht, but he says that you all become Cain. And he presents it in terms of human nature. Man has a desire for meat. Man by nature is carnivorous. If you try to deprive man of meat, he's going to find meat. But if you tell him that animals are entitled to the same protection as human beings, Allah, the quotation I just gave you, which fairly represents this kind of thinking, then he's going to say, what difference does it make if it's murder to kill a cow, and it's murder to kill a man, and I'm going to commit murder anyway because I can't control myself, I must have meat, then why shouldn't he kill a man and get human flesh as well as he can kill an animal and get meat? Yes. That's very interesting. I don't think so, but excuse me. The algo didn't speak English. The argument presented by Rav Kook in the vegetarian context appears in a recent issue of the New England Journal of Medicine with regard to the same kind of debate insofar as animal experimentation for scientific purposes is concerned. There was an item in the columns of the New England Journal of Medicine, a response to people who would like to eliminate animal experimentation on animals, and which makes the following argument. Biomedical research will occur. If you present biomedical research on animal subjects, the net result will be that biomedical research will take place using animal, using humans as the subject. In other words, nothing is going to be science. It's going to take place. The gains are such that they outweigh whatever stumbling blocks are placed in the way. If you convince us that it is as bad to cause pain to animals as it is to cause pain to human beings, we'll substitute human beings for the animals. That's going to be the net result. Rav Kook said the same thing with regard to vegetarianism. You're going to have people eating meat. If you try to eliminate animal meat, well, they'll replace it with human flesh. Those are three and four. He develops into a separate and independent argument. Argument number three says he...
What was the issue of using
animals in medical experiments.
You want
the date. It was October of 86. You want the exact date. Since it's a weekly, I think it was October 16. Let me check. October 2nd, 1986.
Yes.
Vegetarianism. Bar Elohim is a different...
What does this one have to do with the
second reason is man by his nature is carnivorous. He wants meat.
So
the Journal of Medicine says, look, science is going to experiment.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Fine. Now, argument number three. There, in effect, it's an explanation of Sanhedrin on test. It was necessary to permit meat to Noah in order to impress upon man his moral superiority to animals. It wasn't necessary before Vatimolei Oretz Chomos, but once it was Vatimolei Oretz Chomos, you had to teach people that you don't behave this way as human beings. There is a difference between human beings and animals. If you eliminate this concept by adopting vegetarianism and all that goes along with it, there will no longer be any reason to assume that man is morally superior to animals. That result is man will become positively bestial. They'll act like an animal, and you don't want that to happen. Argument number four. Argument number four says that even people who are immoral and evil, Kusim have here as my parallel. Kusim adopted some issues. And immoral people also adopt some moral practices. And when they do, they go full hog. They are more scrupulous and are super moral with regard to things that they are careful and scrupulous about. If vegetarianism becomes dominant, then people who are totally immoral and depraved in all other areas will find a convenient avenue for their natural moral instinct. They will adopt this as their cause, their morality, and it will channel all their moral feelings into that area. This is the Nazi point that you raised earlier, and the stories or legends of Germans watching their neighbors being shipped off to the crematoria, and then proceeding to take custody of the household pet, and making sure that they were properly cared for. This is undocumented. This happened. They weren't immoral people. They were very concerned about animal welfare. Household pets deserve care and protection. The people being sent to concentration camps don't require that kind of protection. Ruff Cook makes precisely that argument. Yes. Well, I don't know how you deal with the individual other than as a group. When you have individuals espousing all of this, they become a group sooner or later. It becomes a kind of a moral desideratum. It becomes things that people hold up with approbation. It becomes a shita. And when it becomes a shita, it becomes the subject of all the things that Ruff Cook is talking about. Yes? That was the next point that I was going to make. It seems to me that there are different types of vegetarians or different types of vegetarianism. If you deal with an individual who comes and says, I know meat is mutter, but I can't stand the sight of blood, and every time I see a piece of meat, I see the animal being killed, and it's positively revolting. I get nauseous every time I try to eat meat. That becomes not a matter of morality, it's a matter of aesthetic. The guy isn't saying animals have rights, and it's cruel and wrong to kill animals, etc., etc. He's saying, I don't like meat. I don't find anything wrong with that position. We'll talk about interjunctive from Pesach in a minute. But that doesn't seem to me to be anything which is decried in any of the sources that I've cited. The problem is when you depict it as a moral ideal. Now the difference in moral theory, I think, is best portrayed by C.L. Stevenson. What's the difference between saying X is good and saying I like X? C.L. Stevenson tries to analyze every moral statement by saying that it's really a compound statement. If I say X is good in the moral sense, I mean I like X and I want you to like it as well. And that's the crucial difference between saying that, tzedakah is good and ice cream is good. If I say ice cream is good, I'm making no recommendations to anybody else. I'm not trying to exhort other people to eat ice cream. It's autobiographical. I'm telling you that I like ice cream. When I tell you that tzedakah is good, I'm not telling you that I like it, it makes me feel good, I'm being oratorical. I'm trying to get you to adopt my standards as your own. That is how morality differs from aesthetics. Aesthetics is entirely subjective. Tzedakah non disputandum est. But morality is debatable, and people try to convince other people of the validity of certain moral principles. The problem is when vegetarianism is made more than something, more than a mere subjective like or dislike, and it's elevated to what I called earlier a shita. When it becomes a shita, it becomes a matter of a morality, and as such, the sources that I've cited would decry it and say that it is not endowed with any kind of moral validity. Now, the one question that has to be discussed is the problem of simple jumping, which, yes? No, because that's awesome. He has to throw himself into it. If you're dealing with something, it might be very unwise in terms of policy, because if you become, if you focus so much on that, and it becomes a fixation, you need some remiss in other areas. It's exactly what people are saying. No extremism, when it's not mandated by halacha, you wouldn't have thought very much of, because that's likely to make you lose track of other things. Oh, yes, there is an issue, Saba, I tell you.
So, in that case, such an example that you extremely
more physical,
nonetheless,
having a
protection
for it.
I mean, you know, that's a positive
more physical,
it's mandated by the Torah.
So, taking
care of those tests,
oh, I'm not sure. You mean he's a German?
Yeah, I mean, actually,
absolutely not. I mean, there may be nothing wrong with it, but there's no speed to go rounding up straight there. There is no speed.
Take eight steps. It's very much as good as eight. Nonetheless, it allows you to supplement it with more moral principles in that area, so that he would not be affected in other areas more.
Correct.
Negative effect.
Sure, sure, but that's a field, and other things aren't. Had he, you know, gone and done something else that was totally voluntary, I probably said same things about it. Sure. Now, yes? Louder. We'll call this Balthasis. Unless you elevate it to the status of a mystery, it doesn't become Balthasis. And, you know, the vegetarian doesn't necessarily say it's a mystery, he says it's a morality of aspiration, which means Shura Sadin. You know, the guy says, of course we know that, you know, ordinary mortals can't do these things, and it's not demanded of them, but you are morally superior, therefore you ought to do this. That's not about faith. You think it's bad. Dessenzach, I think Rav Kook would have said that given man's contemporary condition, is not to be, it's not a morality of aspiration, not to be desired, it's not endowed with any kind of goodness of any shape, manner, or form. Yes. And with your point is one of economy. In terms of protein consumption, you waste 7/8 of all protein if you eat your protein via beef rather than via soybeans or what have you. Because by the time you get so much of it is being extended, it's more economical in terms of conservation of resources to eat the stuff directly.
Well, one of the arguments, another one of the arguments, I think, is what was against, you know, the fact of production of meat, the way it's in the modern world.
That's working backwards.
Yeah.
If you're telling me that there is Starbucks refining in meat processing plants or what have you, then that may be also what that is experience. So what you'd be out doing is reforming the practices, not preaching vegetarianism. If you're dealing with matters of a scarcity of resources, then that's got to be evaluated in terms of whether there is really a scarcity of resources or isn't there a scarcity of resources. I don't think that those arguments have terribly much potency in our society.
There's some rights in my point that, for example, that in our society,
we dump wheat. It doesn't make very much sense to tell me that we shouldn't be eating the beef because it's more economical to eat the wheat. We've got wheat in silos. They're never going to be eaten. There's a surplus. You know what to do with it. We throw it away. Now, if we throw it away, why not feed it to the animals? Not only is it inevitable, I don't think it's true. Even today. And if it is true, then change it. Why is it inevitable? You have a text in front of you. I didn't write the thing. I only Xerox. That was a corrupt quote. He wrote it. It was there. No, he
wasn't there.
I'm sorry? No, he wasn't there. All right. Let me then talk a little bit about Simchas Yontif as far as vegetarianism is concerned. The Gemara is talking Kuftes Omer Aleph. The Zavach to Shlomo Yochal to Shom to Vach with Hashem Lekecha. So the Gemara Omer Titan, you hear them say right in there, there's not just in the Shkai in Simcha El Lodavot, the Shinema. The Zavach to Shlomo Yochal to Shom the Tamach with Hashem Lekecha. The Simcha of Simcha Yontif is Vach to Shlomo. You need Vach to Shlomo for the Kiyum Simcha Terego. So the more of Ashosh ain't it some Kishkayim in Simcha Elo Viyayim. Shinema Viyayim Samach Lavademus. The more saying that Simcha is Simchat Akkordon. You have to have Akkordon. When there's no Akkordon, then the only Simcha is the Simcha of Viyayim. If you take the Gemara and Sotin Kuftes alone, there seems to be no obligation to eat his man hazeh. Therefore, the vegetarian who can't stand meat for whatever reason would have no obligation with regard to eating meat. And indeed, that is the position of the Rizvah and tradition of Gimel on the day. The Ran in Sukkah Nemdeis on the day goes even further and says, in effect, the Mekayim Simchus Oregel with Yayin Bizman Hazeh, and why seems to be Mekayim is Bizman Shabbat Amitash Oyekayim with Yayin alone. The key is that even when you had the brosa of shlomim, eating shlomim with only a mitzvah means hamukha. You have two kinds of simchah, yayin and shlomim. With manazer, you have only yayin. So for the Ran, even the sanctuary of mikvah or yukayin, eating meat wasn't an absolute requirement. Eating the korban pesach was. The vegetarian would have no way to avoid the korban pesach, unless it was claimed from a chila gasta, for example, or what have you, in which case you wouldn't have the chima mitzvah, so let's put that aside. I'm sorry? Crooked, then days on the day. What? Yes. The Rishonim would disagree. Sorry? Yes. Yeah, that was priceless as well. But the patient is not as clear as he said, yes. That's what vegetarians would answer, and we'll cite Rav Kook's authority. And I will respond by quoting Rambam, the end of Tosafot Malachim, who says, the person says, Heskat Mashiach, and if he comes, and he's loyal to Hashem, he's bringing the Beit HaMikdash to the Kremlin, and he's Maksir or Aveda, Shetikuno, then are the Mashiach Bavada. The Rambam is very clear that you Mashiach, you know he's Mashiach when he restores the Seder HaAvedah, which includes animals. And it's, at best, Mahoyd of the Hosea. Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. Therefore. Yes. So even basing yourself on Rav Kook, you haven't accomplished very much. Because if you take Rav Kook in context, it's very clear that Rav Kook decries vegetarianism with manazeh and was speaking about only Mitzvah Mashiach, eschatology, Ozon, Kedem Acher. That's a different world. Not this world. We're living in this world. In this world, Rav Kook was very negative on vegetarianism. Yes?
Who says so? I think that there are people who hold that up as a mindset.
That man should now aspire to be Odom Chayim Achet? I'm not aware of this. I mean, I'm not a bookie in the book writings. I don't think Rav Kook says that. Nor am I aware of anybody else who says that. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Igros Moshe. I don't know if we discussed it in different contexts. The context of Rav Moshe, it was whether a person had capacity to execute a get. He thought he was Mashiach and he was walking around naked. And Rav Kook said, and Rav Moshe, I mean, Rav Moshe, he may be straining the point, he said this person isn't insane, he's a prayer. he thinks he's Mashiach, it's a simple error. He's not crazy, he's just mistaken. And if he thinks he's Mashiach and he's in this migration, all of a sudden Machet walks around without clothes and follows naturally. Now, but he may not, Ramesh charitably says he's not crazy, but he's clearly an error. You can't be all of them Machet. It's impossible. Yes. Yeah, a person who tries to abstain from Bokra because abstains from Tanuga Elam Hazeh is doing something else. Now, it's like the Abarbanel. I don't want to kill the animal before it all becomes cruel. I'm understanding. I understand. If the purpose is to deny oneself luxury, then we get involved in an entirely different problem of whether you have the right to deny yourself Tanuga Elam Hazeh, which is a different problem. No. All them before the Chet had Tanuga Elam Hazeh. They were readily available to him.
So let's go.
Yeah. You're giving me the argument of those who say that one has no right to be in the study. Yes. No, again, this is certainly a difference of opinion between certain Mikubolim and certain others. Not one source. Take the filter, sir. What one's position should be with regard to Tanuga Elam Hazeh, which is a different topic entirely. If you assume A, which is an assumption, that man has the right to deny himself Tanuga Elam Hazeh, and he's denying himself meat because it tastes better than oatmeal, then it's perfectly acceptable, just as it would be acceptable for him not to eat meat because it's repulsive and repugnant, he can't stand it. Which is why significant people who opposed this notion of denying oneself from the Israel and Israel. And then they proceed to say that was the chet of the nose. You're not supposed to deny yourself one. So it's called a chesed. Try to understand the others. That's different. That's not denial for purposes of denial. No. Don't confuse the Rambam with this issue. The Rambam would not have endorsed this issue. It's off topic, but I think that the only rational approach to this position is that of the Matanga Sato, who says that denial of pleasure is perfectly okay, provided you don't want the pleasure. If you want and need the pleasure, then denial of pleasure is wrong. If you are a human being subject to the ordinary drives of human beings, then you need these things, and you try to deny your faith. If you can eradicate the desire, then you're a kodesh. Either you're a kodesh or a faith. There's nothing in between. Yeah. Yes. Yes, of course. Not all them free the head. The point isn't to become all them prior to the head. The purpose is to develop oneself spiritually rather than. Well, it may be the case that that was all them before the head. It's irrelevant. It's not because you're trying to mimic all them. The sheet is around them. So it's around them. After he has already explained the basic principle of Simcha Paregel, the Samach of the Chagecho, he says, Ketza, how you kind of sin? Terek, Zav, Halofi, you say. Zilchus Yontif. Kaktanim, Neisim, Lohem, Kloyif, Ve'egoizim, Mizdonoi. Zahanoshim, Kreinu, Lohem, Begodim, Ve'kakshitim, Noim, Kifim, Lemoinoi. Ve'ho'anoshim, Eichlin Bosa, the Chasin Yayin, Shein Simche, Elo the Bosa, Vein Simche, Elo the Yayin. The problem is the Ramah Kapitan is talking, the Marcus is not a better thing that it is Yayin. The Rambam is probably based upon another Gemara in Sigigad Avches, where the Gemara says, L'rabbe kol mina simcha, that there's one mitzvah of samachta b'chagecha, and that is the mitzvah of otzer shlomim, and then there's L'rabbe kol mina simcha, a new simcha b'zman hazeh involves other kinds of botzer. In any event, the Rambam says that anoshim is botzer datzke. So you have a machlokes rishonim with regard to whether there is a chiyuv of eating meat on Yom Tov Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam, it sounds very much like a deraisa, and if it's based upon Chigid Yechef Omer Aleph, it is certainly a deraisa. If it is based upon Chigid Yechef Omer Aleph, it is certainly a deraisa. Therefore, it seems that there is a machlokes rishonim whether you are obligated to eat botzer on Yom Tov. Now, I would add one caveat before the question. And I admit that it goes beyond the plain language of the Rambam, but I think it's legitimate. And that is, that the person who doesn't like meat seems to me that according to the Rambam is not obligated to eat meat on Yom Tov. My basis for that is, what's this magic about noshim and kshamim? Why don't women have to eat meat? The Rambam says the simcha for noshim is tachtitim and tzibotim. The rabbi's culmination is whatever you find enjoyable. I recall I knew a gentleman who is unfortunately no longer alive. This man did not smoke except on Yom Tov. And he was a fine person. And while he wasn't able to articulate it, I could even give him a lump of basis. It was Morabe's clothing and cigarette. And since some people enjoy cigarettes, I don't think this person enjoys cigarettes, but since some people enjoy cigarettes, it's something you do on Yom Tov. I've written a piece that says that the Bisman, that and today is absolutely awful to smoke on Yom Tov. Maybe worth it to smoke every day. Today is no longer enough to smoke on Yom Tov. We had problems justifying smoking on Yom Tov once upon a time, and I fear that justification is no longer coaching. But the concept that was here concretely manifest is the concept of kol minei simcha. Whatever is sameach, you're mechuyev on Yom Tov. Then you have chazal who are being literally say daiti shalodom, and they say that men like steak and potatoes, women prefer cottage cheese. But they like the begodim noyim, and men don't like the begodim noyim. Therefore, for women, the theme of simcha is the begodim noyim. But Allah commands in Sinai that women are misameach and begodim noyim. If you have a man who's not misameach with me, then even according to the Sefer Rambam, he may not be mechuyev to eat meat. Or at least I think that's a cogent explanation of the Rambam. However, if one thing I do see is clear in the Rambam, that the rabbis call me a simcha means call me a simcha. If you are misameach in botzer, then you should not try to supplement that desire by becoming a vegetarian on Yom Tov. If you like meat better than cheese, then you should eat meat on Yom Tov. I think that's very clear in the Rambam. However, it would not extend to the person who doesn't like meat. Yes.
Is there that
yes. It extends to red meat in terms of, once you get to achronim, you see it extends to red meat. Because, the simcha peregel was with regard to red meat. Chicken and salami. Bosa malua. Bosa malua, would sound for the, if this is in effect, a mimicking of the simcha peregel, yantab, which existed when the korbanos and it's daskia. Both are the Haman. People are not supposed to be any money. Huh? Chai is not Nikro Magavim is there. We don't all have chai anyway. No, we don't have anything. It's not usual. You mean deal. So deal is Nikro Magavim is there. Land is Nikro Magavim is there. Then it's new. It excludes both and both from the law. You see that, huh? You see, both the law wasn't different from the government's prayer. Sure, because there's no Easter offer, there's no Easter of the Kobrat Hotel, there's Takiru, which is the prayer of the law. The Sultan's Eve wasn't royal in Israel. You see this in the halacha. It's not Nikra Vagabi Mizbeah.
No?
The nail is not a Kibbutz Sinter. You thought both Eitz is Nikra Vagabi Mizbeah. What? I'll give you the sheet if you want to know. Now, you find this reflected in Dina de Gemara. You find it reflected in the Easter of Achilas Bosor in Shavuot Chol Tishah. In Dina de Gemara, Bosor is not Osor, and Bosor Moluach isn't Osor. That because this wasn't a form of sinter. What they asked was meaning sinter, but they asked was doing that it was in the Kerbal Gabbin Zayah. That's the source statement. That's why that friend you say that the sinter for regel, you need what was earlier called red meat. Yes. Of course. But if you get dizzy, you can drink wine. And you can't stand meat, then your simcha is whatever makes you feel happy. Just as in noshim, bosor and yayin are not required. Particularly if the derivation of the Rambam is the Gemara Kedigal, a rabbi called me a simcha. If it's a rabbi called me a simcha, then it's subjective, whatever your Messiah thinks. And the old Kiyah doesn't exist at all. I think that's a perfectly cogent place for the Rambam. Yes. You're absolutely correct. If the entire seed is manazeh, comes from Tegidah, then you may be able to satisfy it alone. If, however, you maintain that the Gemara was locked up and that the Gemara said in Simcha Eliyahu is didn't mean only wine, but meant meat also, then doing this in the Simcha Seregel of them based on Mitzvah Yachayim. And you find what? Has been more in talking in talking in Kuftet. I'm sorry? Again, you're right. The way I presented the Rambam, that the Rambam is, that there are two separate seasons. One of a theme of talking Kuftet, and the other a theme of Kuftet, and the Rambam is being Kaveh la Halach of Kuftet, which is a nucleus, then there's no particular Halach of Brock. There may be a fear of yayin samach lavar enosh, but then Coleman thinks it has nothing to do with red meat, it's just whatever's in Sameach. It could be chicken. How do I know that red meat in Sameach wasn't chicken? However, there are some, that may be true. There are some upbringing who maintain that the Gemara is talking with Lavdavsky and says, ain't anything to elevate yayin, it meant that we don't have that bosser, but the Zanazer is bosser in yayin, or whatever. In which case, the bosser doing to the bosser in Isaiah. Those are training say that much is that it's bosser and it's yayin. And bosser means the kind of bosser we're talking about there. Right, particularly since the Gemara when deals with Tisha B'Av says that what's the Samea is red meat. And bosser is not Malua. Where? Yes, bosser is Malua. Bosser is not Malua. Yes. Yes. Okay. Good. Right. That's precisely Gafreinim and Medamim. It becomes the same problem. Because they offered there only the Simcha that was doing to the Simcha that they committed, and therefore when you have a heal of Simcha, it's also doing to the same thing. Yes. I don't have anybody who says that you're exempt if you don't like wine. That simcha seems to be the high that you feel on alcohol. That seems to be the simcha the Gemara is referring to. Of course. So it would be more of a pity to say you're exempt from the IU than to say you're exempt from both. It all depends what the Gemara meant when it says Kintel of the IU. Several more points in regard to this, and then Tzar Bali Chai in general. One thing is clear, and that is that Chazal certainly encouraged the eating of meat on Yom Tov, even if it's not a normative obligation. Not only that, but according to the Afrenim, they say you can't be Makayim the mitzvah sumata other than with animal meat, red meat. We see the Chazal encouraged eating Aesis on Yom Tov as well. The Gemara, the Mishnah Yuma, the Mishnah Deyah, Yudom and Aleph, that speaks about the requirement of Hazmona before Yom Tov. And the reason is because you're afraid if you're not mazmin in advance, when you go to take the pigeons on Yom Tov, you may discover that they're not sufficiently fat, and you'll be left without pigeons for the Suda's Yom Tov. Now, if there's no chiyuv to eat meat, what will Chazal do? No chiyuv to eat meat, or the chiyuv to eat red meat, what will Chazal trying to encourage eating the pigeons for? The answer must be that Chazal took a very positive view with regard to eating the pigeons on Yom Tov, even if it's not technically necessary for the Kiyum HaMitzvah. In terms of the policy that they wanted to encourage, if these pigeons are particularly tasty, they wanted people to eat pigeons on Yom Tov. Yes? Well, what do you care? It's clear that you want them to examine the pigeons in advance, make sure that they're all fat and healthy, etc. If you don't care whether you eat pigeons or not, then why are you making them examine them in advance? You're doing all kinds of things which will have the result that you've got to prepare the pigeons. Means they want to eat pigeons. I mean, they want to eat pigeons because pigeons were a delicacy. Right? So wherever you're dealing with meat, which is a delicacy, Chazal wanted to encourage it on Yom Tov, which is perfectly compatible with all the sources of it. Yes. Yes. It's not a zechel lefulgum like the Amal Amit. It's a zechel lefulgum in the form of avelus and miniyah simchah. You can't be medana one type of avelus to another. The avelus of tishabog isn't avelus of shivu. And then the corresponding of it. No, there's differences. It's not for today. You can't be medana avelus avelus. There are different kiyuvim of avelus, and each one has its own parameters. I know that others have said differently. You've given one of my writers. That's one of the writers. That is a different category of avelus. And it's not simply mutatis mutanda that we've taken one category of avelus and shifted it to some other place. It is a category of avelus. It's clear that the ether is a form of, I wouldn't call it a velus, I would call it the minia of simcha. It was a specific type of simcha that they were minia during this period, which is the flip side of the point of a velus. Yes.
Weren't minia on
the they were never nechal. They're not nechal. If it's a machzor hagecho is with a zavak to shlomi, it's shlomi that you eat. But what Achilles says, they are such a count in Simcha Torah. Alright, there are two
I don't know if there's some kind of
mitzvah about whether it's
about the animal.
Yes, later. I'm going to come to it if I can get there. Two practical halakha questions that deal with the question of whether it's a chiyuv of Achilas book or on Yom Tov Bizman Hazeh. One is in the package that I gave you, there's a marsham that talks in general about the chiyuv of Yom Tov Bizman Hazeh, and if I'm not mistaken, the marsham quotes the Chavis Yoyer, otherwise it's true in the Chavis Yoyer. The Shiloh was everybody's burnt Yerodeah, you need Kabbalah to Shita, and you're not allowed to chef without Kabbalah. Question, you have a place or a small town, and there's only one place, and you got sick before Pesach, and you can't chef. But there's somebody there who is expert in Hilchot Shita, and even knows how to be Ma'amin Yodah, and he knows how to fix the chalas, the only one problem, he has no kabbalah. Is he allowed to share? And in the Shulva Kabbalah, he directly predicated upon whether the Mitzvah, Shulva Kabbalah, the Zman Hazeh, is it right? If there's a fee of the right, then all these mitzvahs are abonon, get suspended. If there's no shekhin of kabbalah. If there's no fee of the right, they are not suspended. The second I gave you in the package is the Shulva appears. It's written by a nephew of Steinberg. His name is also Moshe Halevi Steinberg. It's a little paper called Pukat Tager. And in the back of Pukat Tager, he has a huge shulah dealing with gerut. The question was whether vegetarian can be a ger. Is this tantamount to being the Kabbal Koa Terakula speaking of over Ephel? If there is a mitzvah of eating brocha this man Azeh, and the vegetarian isn't going to eat brocha and not this, then he is being the Kabbal Chutznik over Ephel. If there is no chiyuv to eat brocha that year, then it's not Chutznik over Ephel. Alright, let me say at least a little bit about Tsar Bali Chayim in general. As I said earlier, Tsar Bali Chayim in terms of the restraining we talked about, the reason for the Easter against Tsar Bali Chayim, and it's clear that there is an Easter against Tsar Bali Chayim, predicated upon concern for human beings, not with regard to concern for animals. Therefore, it turns out that the prohibition against Tsar Bali Chayim is not absolute by any means. The first exception to the Isra of Tsar Bali Chayim is Shkita. Now, I know that it's been said that Shkita does not involve Tsar Bali Chayim, and you know, it might be good to adopt that position. Unfortunately, the Rambam in the Mernavuchim tells us that Shkita does involve Tsar Bali Chayim. So does the Prima Godin in the Sikha deal with Shkita in a different context. There are, with regard to this, to the general problem of killing animals, there are three different Shitas that one finds in Pesachim. Some maintain that the killing of an animal is also a Tsar Bali Chayim, even if there's no pain. It's a kind of a statutory pain. Don't confuse me with the fact. Killing an animal is by definition Tsar Bali Chayim, even if you kill an animal in the most humane manner possible, i.e. Shkita. Shkita then becomes Mutter, as we'll see in a moment, because Tsar Bali Chayim of Tsar Odom is Mutter. There are others who maintain that killing an animal is always Mutter, even if it involves pain, because the killing of an animal is not part of the Isra of Tsar Bali Chayim. The Nezik Yehuda is the prime example. There's a long shulah of Nezik Yehuda in which he talks about hunting. And he does not forbid hunting because of Tsar Bali Chayim. He forbids hunting for other reasons. He says it's mutter, that's the parnasa. If it's not the parnasa, it's also because it's dangerous. People who go hunting get killed. But he doesn't say it's also because of Tsar Bali Chayim, because he maintained that killing animals is not a forbidden form of Tsar Bali Chayim, although one caveat, the Nezik Yehuda really concedes that you can't starve an animal to death. But that's the Tsar isn't the act of killing, it's, you know, it's placed before the process of killing it. Yes. I don't know whether it fits in or it doesn't fit in. It turns out to be, in effect, an exclusion from the Easter of Tsar Bali Chayim for all of these people. Right. Right. Now, yeah, if you don't kill the animal, if you're a poor shot, and you just leave him there to rise and tank, yes. But he's not serious with your parnosa. He asks the pork because it's bakonin, not because it's parabolicite. Of course it's not desirable. Yeah. He quotes the Targum, Yedei Asai Gevar Nak Sirchon, which he tells us means that Yedei Asai Bottle, but he's got nothing better to do than training. How could somebody ask the question in the first place? Who's this person who's got nothing better to do with himself than to go on the hunt? But then he proceeds to deal with it seriously. For the furrier, he says it's nothing. He says it's absolutely within the Torah. Because the Nafshi Yodah Lachma, the Gemara Bava Metzia, that the person is allowed to assume risk for purposes of parnosis, but not for frivolous pastime. Let me just return to the point I was making a little bit earlier. And that is that Tzar Balei Chayim in general is Mutter L'Tzoiris Odom. Wherever there is a legitimate purpose in the Tzar of the Balei Chayim, it is permissible. At least that is the shita of most Tzarim. The problem with Tzar Balei Chayim is that there's no simon in Shulchan Aruch that says Tzar Balei Chayim, and you don't have a clear codification. The result is that whatever is shaila in Tzar Balei Chayim, you have sources every which way. But the consensus of most suffering, I'll give you a few steps in a moment, is that Tzar Balei Chayim, the Tzoriach Odom, is Mutter. You have the Rambam in two places that says that Merikas Neitzer from a person, who knows what, is permissible in Tzar Halakha, but the person should be Meneyah from it in Shumach Zorri. The person needs a quill. And you just go to get a quill to go find yourself a turkey and pull out the feather. Only it hurts the animal. Mitzat Hadin Smutter. But a kind of you got tattoos, don't do this because of absorption. If I'm not, yes.
Is it wrong
thing
to do this animals?
Yes. How would you like to continue?
I would like to begin first one. If you're testimony
around
the human diet, that folks who suffered opposite.
Suffered who?
Suffered first. If you testimony around the human diet, that folks who suffered.
To quote Rav Yankiv Kamenetsky, the friend in the Brocha. Rav Yankiv, the friend in the Brocha, once responded to a question with regard to evolution and shrugged his shoulders and said, there's only one difference between Darwin and us. Darwin thinks that the Zeta was the monkey and the Einikol is human, and Chazal, the Gemara in Caleb, says that with the Einish of the Dor HaFlogir was they were turned into monkeys. We say that the Zeta is human and the monkey is the Einikol. What? Monkey might be a human being. And it's an interesting point. I didn't conclude, but presumably you want to say that star of monkeys might be star of an organ, which is also.
Nothing
of them. You're assuming that there's a star of our kind, which is star of an organ. And it's probably just a sticker. All right. And anything less than the theater? Anything less than the theater, the entrance into the side of the world is Mr. Star Ball Time for an old one. And there are many people who maintain there's no Mr. Star Ball Time for them. There are many people who have no Tzar Balei Chayim at all. But yeah, I mean, what you say sounds good. Now, there is a Yaiser, a Shilas Yaiser who says that there's no Tzar Balei Chayim for insects. I presume he means non-vertebrate. And what he says makes sense neurologically. Now, despite what the Tzar Balei Chayim used to say, animals do not feel pain the way human beings do, and it seems to be good, cogent scientific basis for it. They simply don't experience pain the way human beings experience pain. And there seems to be some evidence that non-vertebrates don't experience pain, period. And that seems to be what the Isaac is saying. The Isaac says that there's no nature of primal kind with regard to vertebrates, and I interpret as meaning that they don't experience star. That there's no star, they can't be star by which I. But he's the only one I know who says it. So he says, there is at least one source. I'm sorry? For the Irish, yes. Yes. I mean, I warned you, with regard to every child in Tzar Balei Chayim, I will find you sources both ways. Yes. So I think he would say that you don't become an obstacle by stepping on an ant.
Purposely?
Even purposely. Because everybody knows they don't feel pain. Yes. Yes, of course what sort of love doesn't have to be defined. Of course. Yes. My problem is how to do all of this in 5 minutes. Yes. I'm sorry? There may be, if they have some other purpose. You know, there's some purpose that the animal can serve. Only if it's an ape knuckle. If it's an alien, for oxygen, oh, yes, sir. Louder, louder, louder. No, no, there is no such something. There is no such something. It's only if it serves a purpose, and you're thwarting its purpose, or you're wasting it in some way. If it's got no purpose, then in point of fact, you're correct, and I mean the basic principle is correct. But no. The again, one of the footnotes in the stuff I gave you. Everything has a purpose. There's a long Gomorrah in Shabbos about poisonous insects and what purpose they serve, and it turns out they serve purposes of refuah. Or there's no oversupply. There's more than enough of those around. Therefore, there's no balfashkos in killing the rest. And even if you have a good idea to kill the rest, because the lemons exist in the wild, all they do is cause trouble. When you need them for medicinal purposes, you'll keep some in the zoo, and... Well, they're perfect left. Purpose left would eliminate all types. Yes. I am not aware of any such system. Unless there is some purpose to species, and even then, even the process of making them extinct, you have served some legitimate purpose, I don't know that you serve all types. I mean, we're now talking. They're now dealing with ecology, which I think is another topic in this discussion, isn't it? In these long
terms.
Third person is not their what? There's two possibilities. The PHLP has placed it. That killing is always offer, because first say it's Tzar Bale Chaim. B, killing is never Tzar. Killing is excluded or free. It's treated like anything else. If it's painful, it's offer. It's not painful, it's murder. Now, there are several points that I do want to make. First of all, and I'll stop that. Lateris Rasuli, everybody maintains that Tzar, virtually everybody, maintains that Tzar Bale Chaim is murder. Even those who say that the cleric is not mutter, I'm talking very quickly, some maintain that it's cleric godel, some maintain that it's proportionate. You can cause a great star for a great gain, but only a minimum star for a minimum gain, but everybody agrees that for purposes of refuah it's mutter, and there are some tribus who say that there's no midas tafidus, and it would be an incorrect kind of midas tafidus not to cause star bali chayim if the failure to do so would have adverse medical effects upon human beings. The only exception to this is the Belial Klatskin, who is an Odom Gogol, who says that you measure Tzar Bale Chaim for refuah exactly the way you measure autopsies for the native Yehuda. You need a chemo lefameno. It depends what you're doing. If it's for an immediate result, it's perfectly okay. If it's for some kind of abstract scientific experiment which may do some good sometime in the future, then that kind of Tzar Bale Chaim is also, I think, he's a dafyoki. The other point that I did want to talk about, and I don't know if I have time, is the question of whether when Tzar Bale Chaim is mutter, the Tzar Odom, is there an obligation to minimize the pain, or is it a kind of dekuyo? Now, is it dekuyo or mutra? Is Tzar Bale Chaim mutra, the Tzar Odom, therefore you don't have to minimize pain, or do you have to minimize the pain? I think I spoke about this in the Fulin here, did I not? And there seem to be contradictory sources. The Ran on the Mishnah you test on the day, the Sheikh in that Godin says the Ran, that it's also because the Sheikh in that Godin you cause Tzar to the Bale Chaim. Now this is clearly the Torah. I think that the Ran holds clearly that there's a seed in the Mayat and Tzar of Bale Chaim. I have other Rashis that may contradict this. Rashi in Chav Zayin on the day, regards to the seed of Kisui Adam, Rashi talks about the permissibility of Nechir. Again, the concrete problem in halacha would be when you want to kill an animal for other than purposes of eating it, are you mechuyev to shechter, since that is the most humane way of killing, or is it mutar bin Nechir? And the Gemara speaks out in the context where somebody wants to, he needs the blood. And Rashi is careful to say that if he does cheat, he's not going to have the blood to sell on the market. And Rashi adds this explanation, he's not going to have the blood. The inference would be, I think, that absent that, there would be an interest to do it because he's being very an extra star in the Nechira. Although, that isn't a strong raya because maybe it's also he must hear himself from the mitzvah of Tisri Hadam. However, there is a Rashi in Shabbos, Ayin Hei Omet Aleph, with regard to Shkita and the Lamaset Malachi, and says it says Rashi that you cannot derive the Malacha of Shreike from the Koshim who were needed for their skin, because Shkita Lomeli, the Tenika Nami Sagi. Rashi seems to say that for getting the alien Mordomin and their Koshim, there was no obligation for Shkita, which seems to indicate that Nefira would have been perfectly permissible, even though Nefira is more painful than Shkita. I think we have Machlokes Rashi and the Ran, and I found nobody in Achronim who discusses it within this context. Certainly don't bring the Raya from Rashi or the Ran. I think there's a Machlokes Hashem with regard to whether there's an obligation to be united to Sar Malachi when there is a basic Kether of the Sar Malachi. Again, I don't feel too badly at having been attacked there in the Sar Malachi part, because it's all in the handout. You've got it in the article that's available to you.
Thank you.